can find the reading in your church Bibles on page 1211, and it's Hebrews 12, starting at verse 4. God disciplines his children. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten his word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we're going to spend a few moments just unpacking those verses together. So let's take a moment to be quiet and ask God to help us as we think on his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask this morning that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things of you from it. Amen. Well, that video that we watched right at the beginning of the service is funny for all sorts of reasons, isn't it? Kids are cute, sometimes, and can be quite comedic, even without realising it. But one of the reasons that I think it is so entertaining is not so much to do with the children. It's more to do with the fact that we can all identify with the dilemma that they're facing. Do I give in to the temptation that's right there in front of me now, which will bring a short-term gain? Or do I hold out for that promise of something much better in the future? Often our heads are saying, wait, because it will be worth it. But our hearts or our other senses are saying, screaming, just eat the marshmallow. Resisting the temptation to take the easy short-term route can be very hard, even when we know it would be better in the long term. And in the reading that Stella just brought for us, the writer was encouraging his readers to take a long-term view. Last week, if you were here, you'll have seen how he urged the church, firstly to fix their eyes on Jesus, and then to throw off the things that drag us away from God, and finally to persevere, even when things are desperately tough. And now this week, we see him challenging them in their complacency. You may think that you've got your eyes fixed on Jesus and you're following him, he says, but in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, verse 4. And I think we're supposed to contrast that directly with what he said about Jesus just two verses earlier. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. You see, Jesus didn't capitulate even when he was placed under the greatest pressure. He stayed faithful even when it cost him his life, because he knew there was something better to come, what the writer calls the joy set before him. And now, he says, Jesus is seated there at the right hand of God's throne. An amazing image of God's victory that Jesus won on the cross. And a timely reminder also of what it cost him. As we remember what it cost Jesus to hold out for what was promised, so we are reminded what it will cost us if we are determined to follow him. So, says the writer, do you think you're making a good job of following Jesus? Well, he died for you, yet in your struggle against sin, you haven't yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. See, following Jesus can be a tough road to walk, and we are encouraged to see those hardships that we face on the way as God's discipline in verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. And specifically, the writer is focused on the problems that we face when we try to fix our eyes on Jesus and follow him. He's not trying to explain every single challenge that we face in life. Some of those are the result of living in a broken world. Some are the results of our own foolishness. But some are the result of trying to live life God's way in a world that often is hostile to him. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. Really cheery, but it's not all doom and gloom. Because as he goes on, our writer lays out three reasons for enduring the hardships of being faithful. Each one of them gives an insight into how God works for the good of his people, for the good of his family. And if you'd like to unpack them a little bit more, I'm going to confess that this morning I have borrowed these three from Raymond Brown's commentary on Hebrews. So I'd be happy to lend that to you if you feel I'm too brief this morning. Not much danger of that. So firstly, the writer says, remember God's word. Talking about discipline is a bit of a turn-off for most of us, I guess. It brings back memories of school days and the strictest teachers, which are not necessarily the most positive experiences for all of us. And so it's really important to hear what God has to say about it in verse 5. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? You see, God has spoken clearly, and his words are recorded for us in the pages of the Bible, as this quotation shows us from Proverbs chapter 3. Do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. See, there are two very human responses that often come when we're disciplined. Firstly, trivialise about it, joke about it, pretend that it doesn't really matter. It's the kind of bravado of the playground. Yes, I'm in detention, but I don't care. The other response is just to give up, to say, well, what's the point? If I can't get things right, if I'm just going to get in trouble all the time, well, I'm not going to bother anymore. But Proverbs, in its wisdom, tells us to avoid both of these reactions for one very good reason. The Lord disciplines the one whom he loves. And if nothing else, that should make us prick up our ears. Because this isn't a rant about following rules and regulations for the sake of it. This is a discourse about God's love for you and for me. So first of all, he says, remember God's word, which puts everything in context, reminding us of God's unfailing love. And secondly, he says, remember God's care. In my last church, the layout was a bit similar to here, although we didn't have the north aisle. But we had the musicians at the front in a space that wasn't vast, and there were lots of cables around on the floor as well. And at the end of one service, I was chatting to a friend while his young son played on the floor. And we saw him pick up the trailing end of one of those cables as things were being packed away. And immediately, my friend reached down, grabbed his son, scooped him off the floor, and told him off for playing with something that might have hurt him. In the short term, that probably wasn't the greatest experience for that toddler. But the reality is, being slightly dramatic, that his dad might have saved his life. Because he loved his son, his father disciplined him so that he learned not to play with potentially dangerous electrical cables. And had he left him just to play with the cable, not disciplined him at all, well then he would not have been a good father. And so our writer says, God's discipline confirms that we are members of his family because God disciplines those whom he loves. Conversely, in verse 8, he says, if you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. In other words, if you don't endure hardship because of your faith, well, perhaps you need to ask the question, am I in God's family? Is my faith really real? And that's very different to some of the messages that we hear today. But it is what the Bible says. If you are one of God's children, then you are loved more than you could possibly imagine. And because of that love, from time to time, you will face discipline and hardship. And when those times come, our writer says, finally, remember God's purpose. When we played that three-in-a-row game earlier, it worked fine when we followed the rules. But when we played without rules, it was chaos. We ended up, I think, with three or four people on one square, and it was quite hard to count the score. Being disciplined brought an end result that was desirable. It was a good, well-ordered game. Being disciplined with one marshmallow brought an end result that was desirable. Two marshmallows. And being disciplined as we fix our eyes on Jesus brings an end result that is desirable. Verse 10 tells us, God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. How do we keep ourselves focused on the promise of God's holiness, righteousness, and peace? while we fix our eyes on Jesus. And over the years, following him has cost countless Christians their lives. In our comfortable suburban world, the threat of losing our life for our faith probably seems miles away from where we are. But 461 years ago, only about 50 miles from here in Oxford, Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley were burnt at the stake for refusing to give up their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As they were executed, Hugh Latimer is reported to have said to his friend, "Play the man, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." And today, in countries like Nigeria or Cameroon or the Democratic Republic of Congo, Christians still face the very real and present threat of losing their lives for nothing other than putting their faith in Jesus. But they are convinced that it's worth it, just as our writer here is convinced, because they know that God has a bigger plan. And that's our prayer this morning for James and for Nina and for Lola, that they would grow to know God's plan for their lives and to live their lives for him. Living for him can be a challenge for all of us, much harder even than waiting for another marshmallow. But it is a challenge we can meet if we remember God's word, we remember God's care, and we remember God's purpose. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son who endured such opposition from sinners. But as we fix our eyes on him, I pray that we would not be those who grow weary and lose heart. Help us to remember all of your promises spoken in your word. Help us to give thanks for your loving care for us. And help us to remember that you do have a plan, that your purpose is to bring us home, to be with Christ, with you, in the wonder of a new creation. Help us to fix our eyes on him as we live our lives for you day by day, we pray. Amen.